Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Anybody from Cincinnati wants to speak right now? Things are going pretty terribly there. I don't need to bring on Filippone. It'll just turn into Syracuse basketball talk. So we decided it's time, because we've done seven in heaven, it is time to go around the AFC wildcard. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And the first one of them, we welcome on Derek Schultz. He is of the ISC Sports Network in Indianapolis as the Colts get set to take on the Tennessee Titans on Sunday, a big one at home at Lucas Oil Stadium. Both these teams vying for the top spot, vying for the AFC playoffs. Derek Schultz joins us on the show. First off, Derek, what has got into Philip Rivers? Is there a trust factor now? Do fans actually trust Philip Rivers now in Indianapolis?
Can you ever really trust Philip Rivers? I think that's the big question, right? Because you never really know, I think, what you're going to get. I mean, certainly the last couple of games, particularly really the last two, the win in Nashville against Tennessee, and then, of course, last week, the thrilling overtime win over Green Bay. He was fantastic. I mean, I in fact, think that his performance against Green Bay, even though it wasn't his highest yardage total and it wasn't his best stats game, even though he did go over 300 yards and threw three touchdowns, I thought it was his best game. He looked the sharpest, and he threw a lot of zip on the ball. The touchdown pass to Trey Burton, I thought, was the best throw that he had this entire season. So he's certainly playing better than he did at the beginning of the season. You guys saw what he could look like when he really struggles against the Browns in Cleveland in that loss. The week beforehand against the Bears, he was a disaster. The second half against Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, he was awful. So I think you never really know what you're going to get, but what the Colts wanted to do this offseason was they wanted to upgrade from Jacoby Brissett. So they paid Philip Rivers $25 million, not thinking that we're going to get Philip Rivers, the All-Pro from 2009, but we're going to get an upgrade from Jacoby Brissett. And I think the Colts are confident that at the very least, they got a clear upgrade from their QB1 from last year.
Derek, did they feel that they're a different team from earlier in the year, the one that did look so bad against the Browns?
I think they do, and the reason, guys, is because they're doing it against good teams. Early in the year, they stuck the Jets into a trash can. Everybody sticks the Jets into a trash can. You know, they beat up on teams that were nothing. They went and scored 19 points against the Bears. Who cares? You know, 19 points beats the Bears because their offense stinks. But now when you do it against Green Bay, when you take their best punch and get down 14 points and come back and win against an elite pass offense, and goes 20-3 in the second half of that game, and do the same thing against Tennessee where you completely dominate the second half in Nashville 17-0, I think that really says a lot. So I think really what it is, more than the Colts being a different team or gaining confidence or anything like that, I think what they're doing is they're putting it together against good competition, and they're showing that this is what they can be at their very best. Do I expect them to consistently play at this level? No, of course not. But really, the last 2 weeks showed a ceiling from the Colts guys that I wasn't confident that they could reach last month.
Do you feel as if you have got the better end of the deal from the Philadelphia coaching tree, that you have Frank Reich and that they're left with Doug Peterson? Because he looks like a great coach, Frank Reich does.
Yeah, people have always been very confident about Frank Reich. He really, in this town, he reminds a lot of people of Tony Dungy, with kind of that calm demeanor, and he's kind of a soft-spoken guy, and people in Indiana sort of like that. I don't think that plays in every market, but I do think that it plays here. people want to genuinely like the head coach, the person. That's kind of the reason why Chuck Pagano, who was an extremely mediocre head coach, ended up being here 6 years. People liked him. People didn't like Ryan Grigson. That's why Ryan Grigson got fired 2 years prior to him. So I think people have always been confident with the ups and downs of Reich. You kind of feel for Reich, guys, because when you think about it, when he signed up for this job, he's thinking to myself, oh, my God, I've got Andrew Luck for 7 or 8 years here. This job is a no-brainer. I've got my franchise quarterback. Now I can run my offense all the way through him, and he gets Luck for a year. And when he leaves on the doorstep of his second season, 3 weeks before opening kickoff for the 2019 NFL regular season. So I think Reich has been dealt not the best hand all the time during his time here, but he's made the best of the cards that he has. And, you know, clearly he's a gifted offensive mind. The Colts don't have elite offensive weapons or anything like that, but he's able to kind of put everybody in a role where they can succeed. You know, Nyheim Hines, you put him here, you put Jordan Wilkins there, you put Michael Pittman here, you do this and that with the tight ends. I think he's really kind of put the pieces in the correct places for the most part. And credit also goes to Nick Sirianni, who I think is going to get some looks as a head coach this offseason as their offensive coordinator. He's done a nice job in his time here, and their relationship came over from when they were both in San Diego with the Chargers, ironically enough, with Phillip Rivers at quarterback.
Ah, Mount Union guy. Okay, Tone, go ahead.
Just real quick, we got to move on, but the Dome. We talk about this in Cleveland all the time. We've had three awful weather games. Fans have hated it, mostly, that have been to the games, the last three home games. Do people in Indy, would any of them want real football weather?
Oh, no, man. People here love indoor football. And it's weird for me because I'm a native of the Northeast. And when I came out here for the first time, the best thing that I can describe going to an indoor football game, it was like going to a Peyton Manning convention. Where, like, you know, you sit in the stands and then they have these big jumbotrons and then Peyton Manning talks. And, you know, that's what it felt like. And it's still surreal to me to go to an indoor NFL game. But they've had indoor football here ever since football's been here. It came in 84 with the Mayflower Vans. They have the RCA Dome indoors. Lucas Oil Stadium technically has a retractable roof. That baby's open like twice a year if they're lucky, because it has no drainage system. So if there is even a 5% chance of precipitation, they have to close the roof because it takes them like 3 hours to open and close it. So no, fans would never sit through outside and 40 and rain and the elements and all of that, not even to watch a winning team here. Fans aren't very hardened. It's not like Cleveland. Yeah. It's not like Chicago. We're kind of pampered here in Indy.
Derek Schultz, the ISC Sports Network in Indianapolis. He just reminded me of the convention with the Peyton Manning. It just reminds me of like a Billy Graham crusade from back in the day. We go to Tennessee. Chad Withrow, 104.5, the Zone in Nashville, as Tennessee takes on Indianapolis. All right, Chad, what are the real Tennessee Titans here? Because they had taken on water. They were 1-3 since week 7. They get the win in Baltimore. They come from behind against the Baltimore Ravens. Is it back on track, or are people still a little skittish about that defense?
I think people are still very skittish about the defense. You know, they're still pummeling head first towards the worst third down percentage defense in the history of the NFL since they've kept that stat. So that's a problem, and now a problem with the Titans, the offensive line, with all of the injuries. Mike Vrabel's done a great job of being resourceful and winning games at times that maybe he shouldn't. With patchwork position groups, he did that with the offensive line, also with some injuries in the secondary on defense on Sunday against the Ravens. He lost another player during that game. But it's going to be – it's a different animal when you're talking about that Colts defense and protecting Ryan Tannehill, which they were unable to do in the game just a week and a half ago here in Nashville on that Thursday night. So they've got their work cut out in front of them, trying to put together an offensive line against this great Colts defense.
We always talked about Ryan Tannehill in the past. That was someone who was in the draft when the Browns always perpetually needed a quarterback. And it seems like new lease on life. And not only that, he looks to me, every time I see him, like one of the better quarterbacks in the game. Is he really that good, or is this the system?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think the system in Miami and all the offensive coordinators he had led to some of that poor play there. He certainly has a groove with Arthur Smith, Titans offensive coordinator. And he's been very good since he took over for Marcus Mariota a year ago. You know, the Titans were struggling. I think they were 2-4 at the time when he came in and stepped into that role. And he led the Titans to the playoffs and then all the way to the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. He's been really good. But he has shown a couple of flashes of regression this year. You know, the first half against Baltimore on Sunday, people started calling him Miami Hill again because it looked like the Miami Dolphins' Ryan Tannehill. And then he comes back in the second half, and he plays very well in that fourth quarter as the Titans come from behind and force overtime and then eventually win it in overtime. So I think what we're seeing with Tannehill is the last part of last year, the first part of this year, probably the very best. We're seeing his ceiling as a quarterback. But as we've seen, his ceiling as a quarterback is very, very good. Now, what is the floor? Is it all the way back to what he was in Miami? Is it something in between that? Time will tell. But he has shown some flashes of not a great play this year. But for the most part, I think he's exceeded expectations because most Titans fans expected him to go back to the mean a bit this season after a great first season as a Titans starting quarterback.
Has Tennessee-Baltimore reached heated rival status?
Yes. You know, it's funny because for Nashvillians, everybody hates the Ravens here. You know, going back to when they were in the same division, and of course you go all the way back to 2000 where Eddie George, you know, the ball ricochets off of him. Ray Lewis has the pick six to beat the Titans. That was the best Titans team ever. They went to the Super Bowl the year before, but that 2000 team was even better than the team that lost in the Super Bowl. They lose in their first home playoff game that year in 2000. And you can go through the moments. You know, a year ago in the playoffs, that was a big-time win for the Titans going up to Baltimore. And I think John Harbaugh with that pregame skirmish, that's something the Titans do every game where they gather at midfield. And, in fact, they did it in January in the playoff game in Baltimore. I think him going out there with that show of, hey, get off our shield at midfield. He was trying to send a message to his team, I think, that, hey, we're not going to be pushed around by these guys in this game. Sort of backfired on him. You know, the Titans got off to a good start, but then, of course, Baltimore played very well to take a lead also. But, yeah, I think this is absolutely a heated rivalry, and you can just tell by how the players react to each other. It was a very chippy game on Sunday. So it's a rivalry that's been around for longer than a lot of people know. But it's one that's certainly heating back up with these two games in the calendar year 2020.
Cleveland fans, we always say here we wouldn't trade Nick Chubb for any running back in the NFL. We know there's a bunch of good ones. You've got one of the best ones as well. Is there anybody you'd rather have than Derrick Henry?
No, because Derrick Henry is so different. You know, you guys have a great running back situation there in Cleveland for sure. By the way, I'm excited about the possibility of Titans-Browns maybe being flexed to Sunday night. I saw that news yesterday. But no, Derrick Henry, you know, that's the word that comes to mind every time I talk about him, different. You know, you think of Christian Okoye in that 1 or 2 year span with the Chiefs back in that he was so different. And that's Derrick Henry. I mean, you just don't have running backs who are 6'4", 255 pounds that can run like him, that runs away from defenses. 99-yard touchdown run a couple years ago, a 98-yard run this season. He is a different player. In the National Football League, he's tough to defend. You have to have a game plan around stopping him when you go in to face the Tennessee Titans. He gets a lot better as the game goes on. If Derrick Henry's getting 10 to 12 carries in the fourth quarter, you know things are going well for the Titans. That's sort of always their goal once they get late in games. So, no, right now, the way Derrick Henry's playing and the way he played in the second half at overtime against Baltimore, I wouldn't trade him for any running back in the league.
Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. We now head to Baltimore. Luke Jones, WNST in Baltimore. Do they even want to play this game on Thursday night, tomorrow night there, Luke?
Well, I mean, as of this hour, it's on, but I think there's a lot of concern. I mean, the competitive advantage, disadvantage, we knew that there were going to be situations like that in the NFL this year. I mean, when you have players opting out before the season even started, you know that you're not going to have full-blown competitive balance, but when you have a virus outbreak that appears to be ongoing, or at least there isn't proof that it's over, the idea of guys getting on a plane and flying even to Pittsburgh, even though a short flight, and playing a game against another team, mind you, on a Thursday night, and I get it, it's Ravens-Steelers, there's ratings, there's lots of money to be made, but I think there has to be a sentiment of, what are we doing here? Why aren't we at least talking more seriously about moving this game back to Sunday? And maybe that ultimately happens at some point here over the next 6-7 hours or at some point the next 24 hours. But, there hasn't been a whole lot of talk of Ravens-Steelers. It's been about who's positive, who's able to play, who's not, and What does the 53-man roster look like right now?
You know, we talk a lot about Lamar Jackson, and fans are starting to tweet our station and say, why is nobody talking about the fact that Lamar Jackson's numbers are worse in some aspects than Baker Mayfield's? And I'm like, who's not talking about that? What are they saying in Baltimore about not only this year with Lamar Jackson, but the future?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to have a long memory and realize this guy did win the MVP last year. You know, so I think there was always going to be some regression to the mean when you look at the number of touchdowns he threw compared to pass attempts. I mean, I think he threw a touchdown on 9% of his passing attempts last year. You just don't see that year in and year out. Tom Brady doesn't do that over, you know, every year of his career. In fact, I don't think he's ever done that in his long Hall of Fame career. But there's certainly some concern in terms of not really showing progression in terms of throwing outside the numbers, maybe not seeing the field quite as well as he did a year ago. But I think anyone who's going to make those fair criticisms has to look at the rest of this offense and realize no Marshall Yanda, no Ronnie Stanley on the offensive line. They lost Nick Boyle, who many people feel is the best blocking tight end in the league. So they're dealing with issues up front. And a young wide receiver group that the Ravens showed a lot of confidence in by not going out and getting an established number one, or even, let's say, a 1A type of established veteran wide receiver, those guys haven't taken a step forward. So when you kind of look at the whole, you know, the whole body of work that is the Ravens offense in 2020, yeah, Lamar Jackson has to take his share of the blame, but there's not a whole lot you can point to across the board on that offense and say, wow, that's something they do incredibly well, or wow, that's really a great aspect. It's kind of just been a across-the-board regression on the offensive side of the ball, and Lamar's, of course, going to get the attention being the quarterback and the reigning MVP.
All right, Luke, we hate to shortchange you, but we have to, and that is around the AFC wild card.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.